How's everyone doing? Good. Thank you for braving the weather. Now we know who the warriors are. All right. Get my notes in order. Hey, I want to talk to you guys today about who is the baby Jesus. It's super important. A television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo at Christmas time. And much as in America, Christmas shopping is a big commercial success in Japan. The interviewer stopped and asked one young woman on the sidewalk, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" Laughing, she responded, "I don't know. Is that the day Jesus died?" In a sense, there is a profound truth to her answer. And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know who he is. The world is happy to let Jesus Christ be a baby in a manger, but do not want him to be God. Yet that is the central truth of the Christmas story. The child of Christmas is God. In fact, that is the core of the story of Jesus from beginning to end. The angel appearing to Joseph when he was debating about what to do with Mary because she was pregnant with Jesus, the angel told him this: all of this occurred, all that is taking place in this portion of time occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This prophecy was given 700 years before the birth of Jesus. But there is always a time that is the right time for God to do what he wants to do. People love Jesus as an infant, but most people can't bear the thought of God coming in human flesh. People even sing about his nativity, but reject his authority. Christmas is not just about the Savior's infancy. It is about his deity. The humble birth of Jesus was never intended to conceal the reality that God took on a human body to be born into this world. One of the first mistakes is thinking that Jesus is like us by nature. That's one of the big problems we oftentimes have with Jesus, is we think he's kind of human like us. It is not his nature. God's nature is supernatural. He is outside of our time domain. He is not like a human being. In fact, Numbers 23:19 says this: God is not a man that he should lie. One of our fail abilities, if you want to put it that way. I don't know how you guys would put it, but that's my English. One of our problems is we lie. Anybody ever lie to you? Have you ever lied to anybody else? How many have lied to themselves? God does not lie. He is not a human being. Oh, he took on a body to identify with us, and he's going to identify with us in this body forever, but he is still God. He never gave up his God DNA. And it says this: nor is he a son of man that he should change his mind. Nor is he fallible like us and says one thing and does something else. Has anybody ever done that? Anybody ever say one thing and then do something else? That's one of our fallibilities. He doesn't have that problem. In fact, it says, does he promise and not fulfill? Anybody ever have somebody promise something to you and then not fulfill it? Have you ever promised something and then not fulfilled it? Jesus doesn't do that. What he says, What God says he will do. What he promises he will fulfill. The hard part is we don't know exactly when that fulfillment takes place. Because we are limited. And there's two aspects about God that's really impressive. And I really want you guys to not be impressed today as we talk about some of this stuff. But I want it to be pressed into you. Because that pressing of God's word balances us. When we start to think things and it gets us out of balance, we need God's word to put us back into balance. And that's what keeps us keeping on. The first thing that you need to know about God, Jesus in the flesh, is this. He never fails. You will find no scripture, no verse throughout all the Bible where it says, God failed. He sure tried hard though. He tried really hard. But he just couldn't do it. No place you will find that. Second thing is, he is never afraid. You will find no scripture that says God woke up afraid. He was sideswiped by this thing, and it scared him to death. He's never afraid. He never has to run away and hide because it's too big. Whenever we think those things, we take God and put him down to the human level. So what does that mean if he's never afraid nor he can't fail? It means that ultimately, whatever God wants to happen will happen. 100%. God is not afraid of failure, for he cannot fail, which means none of his plans can be thwarted. Understand this truth. In Isaiah 46:10, the same Isaiah has said that the baby will be born to a virgin and he'll be called God with us. God is with us, but he's not us. He has a body, but he's still God. The same prophet that said this heard this from the mouth of God. I make known the end from the beginning. He goes, I make known how it's all going to roll out before it ever rolls out. I know what it is, and then I make it known. I am so confident that I can make it happen, that I can actually tell you what's going to happen, and you can't do nothing about it. That's confidence. That's confidence. It reminds me of that Billy Jack movie way in the back of some of you guys that are older. If you haven't seen Billy Jack, you got to see Billy Jack. Well, one time he's meeting this corrupt cop, and he goes to the cop, and he's also surrounded by a bunch of it was a bad guy. I don't know if you guys know this, but some cops are bad guys. But this particular bad guy was there, and he tells him, he goes, I'm going to take this foot, and what's he going to do with it? I'm going to put it on that side of your head. And the guy goes, oh, yeah? He goes, oh, yeah. And then, boom, he does it. And that's God. He'll tell you beforehand. He's told us through the prophets beforehand what he's going to do before he does it. And there's nothing you can do. That's a person that believes they can't fail. That's someone who's not afraid. That's God. He says this, I do it from ancient times before there was even a beginning. I do it from ancient times and I say what is still to come. And I say this about that. My purpose will stand. What I just told you, yeah, it's good enough. You can stand on that. You can bank your life on it. And I will do all that I please. What I'm doing, nobody can stop it. That's the baby in the manger. Why can he do all this? Well, Revelation tells us in 1:8, when Jesus appeared to John and was telling him the end story, he says this about John. He says this about himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, which means the beginning and the end. I'm the beginning and the end. Not only can I tell you what is the beginning and the end, I began it. I am it. And then when it's all done, guess who's there? Me. I got it all covered. I'm at that end. I'm at this end. I'm in charge all the way through. He says this, I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. It's not done yet. The Almighty One. What does Almighty One mean? He's Almighty. There ain't nobody else mightier. Why? I'm all. I'm the mightiest. I make these things happen. He never fears that it won't turn out well. When he says, I will work all things for the good of those who love me, who are connected to me, who are mine, who I have chosen, I will make it all good. Our problem is we are limited in our abilities. We are natural human beings. What does that mean? That means we live in four dimensions. I've shared dimensions with you before, but I'm just going to touch on it this morning. We live in four dimensions. We live in length, which is height. Everything has a length. From the tiniest cell, it has length. It has width. I have width. Everything in the natural has width. And I have depth, which is space. I take up this much space. Some of us might take a little more. Some of us might take a little less. But we take up space. And we live in the dimension of time, which is linear. It follows a line. So, I am limited to being in one place at one time. When I am here, I am not there. Now, God has given us a couple capabilities by prayer and by being spiritually connected to Him. We can go through the time domain and hit into the supernatural because that's the realm of God. I am limited. I am limited by time. For me to go from here to there, it takes time. I may take only a little time, but everything takes time. So we are vastly limited to a God who is unlimited. And we can't even comprehend the supernatural. God exists beyond our four dimensions. In fact, the rabbis and a lot of people that deal with dimensional type stuff say, listen, there must be at least 10 dimensions God operates in. God operates at least in 10 dimensions. Well, what's one of those dimensions? He, omniscient. He can be everywhere at one time. We can't do that. We are limited by time and space, height, width, and depth. We are limited by that. He is not limited. That's a dimension we do not operate in. The dimension of Him knowing all things. He can't learn anything. Even though oftentimes we like to inform Him of things that we think He might possibly not be looking at well. We like to inform Him. We can't inform Him. He's not teachable. Why? He knows it all. He's got it all covered. God can go through solid substances. Angels have that ability. That we are limited by how we have to do something to go through something solid. God doesn't. That's a dimension. And there's multiple other dimensions. So our biggest problem is taking God, who is outside our realm, and bringing Him down and thinking He's another person like us. He thinks like us. He acts like us. He operates like us. And we're here to help Him a lot. To see things clearly and to do things that are well. So God, in His wisdom, I'm speaking of Jesus here, has given us a few ways in our world to understand His immensity, His power, His authority, His thinking process. And that's what I want to share today. Because when you look at the baby and the infant, it's nice, it's a baby, you know, the baby in the whatever that's called. Manger. All right. That was a test and you did well. Hey. He is not like us. So, in this same Isaiah gives us some input. The one that has already given us those previous prophecies I shared. He says this. God spoke to him in Isaiah 55:8 and said this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thinking isn't equivalent to your thinking. The way I see things and the way I perceive them and the way I work on stuff is not comparable to you. He says, and neither are your ways my ways. What you do, your greatest accomplishments, your worst accomplishments, any of your accomplishments, they're not like mine. And then he goes on to say this, which gives us the ability to kind of compare where we are at with God. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Oh, that's in our natural realm. So now I can understand a little bit what he considers his thinking and ways as compared to ours. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let's put that into perspective as we get into this Christmas season. And you're troubled in some way and you don't understand things and life isn't necessarily going the way you thought, or maybe it is right now. But we know it's changing. It's ever changing. Let's look at the heavens are higher than the earth. Astronomers have located galaxies. Our best astronomers on earth have been able to locate galaxies, the dimensions of the universe as far as we can see. This way, that way, this way, every which way we can see. We have located galaxies 12.3 billion light years from Earth. Now what's amazing, as I was putting this together, I just read 2 days ago that NASA is using a telescope called the James Webb Telescope. I don't know, it must have been the inventor or something. I didn't look that much into it. Has discovered, hey, they're even farther. They discovered galaxies 13.4. So just in the last couple days, they've discovered that the galaxy is actually bigger. The heavens are actually bigger than we knew a month ago. So, to grasp this, to begin to grasp this, let's consider this. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. 93 million, huge number. And that light escaping the sun, you know, light's a ray. Light's a ray. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. 186,000 miles a second. That's why when you turn on a light switch, it seems like the light goes on instantaneously. But that ray hitting you is traveling at 186,000 miles a second. So it takes a minute amount of time to light up a place. What we consider, you know, immediate is actually taking time. So light leaving the sun 93 million miles away takes 8 minutes traveling at 186,000 miles a second to reach you when you walk out of here today. Even with the clouds, the light out there is still penetrating at that rate. In fact, the human eye can only see a small band of light width. We cannot see gamma rays, X-rays, microwave waves. sound waves. We cannot see a lot of waves that have light. We are limited, I think it's in the 400 to 700 range, and they go from zero to like 1200. That's why dogs can see certain things. There's animals can see certain, they have different wavelengths. So we are limited in what we can actually see in the light spectrum. I believe someday that'll be rectified when we get our new bodies. We'll be able to see the vast array of light in a whole new way. It'll be mind-blowing. But that's different. So that's just the light from the sun. Jesus said his ways of doing something are higher than the heavens. The farthest galaxy we can see, and we're getting light. The only way we can see it is we're seeing light from that distance and being able to measure that light is 12.3, or the other day, 13.4 billion light years from the earth. In fact, now light from the furthest galaxy traveling at 186,000 miles a second takes 12.3 billion years to reach us. That distance is virtually impossible for us to comprehend. What it means, biblically speaking, is that God, his ways of doing something with anything, he's got 12.3 billion angles on it. That's why he can accomplish whatever he wants. He's already thought of ways, every contingency that could possibly happen, 12.3 billion light years worth of thinking and doing on any issue. My best thinking in comparison gives me in the tens. My best concept on trying to understand God, super limited. So to follow him would make just common sense. But then he gives us something else. He says, listen, not only are my ways, the ability of me to do stuff, the ability of me to overcome every obstacle. There is not an obstacle you will ever face that God hasn't already thought of. And he's got a billion ways to work that out so his will gets accomplished. He can't be thwarted. Nobody can outthink him. The devil can't outthink him. The devil's actually surprised some of you are in here today. That was not what he would have figured out. He thought he had it thwarted. God goes, I already thought of that plan. I got 13 ways to overcome it. I'm not even trying. But not only that, he says, not only my ways higher than you, I'm going to put it into a sphere you can understand. My thinking is beyond you. There's a, in the computer world, there every year they do a top 500 ranking of the fastest supercomputers in the world. Every country vies to be the fastest one. Well, the one in 2022, the top 500, top number one ranked computer is the Frontier supercomputer. It's made in USA. We're at the top again. Yes. And it's made by Hewlett-Packard Enterprises. And this computer, which is massive, is housed in the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. We got it put away. And the computer is massive. In fact, this computer is so big, it takes 6,000 gallons of water running through it a minute to keep it cool. Why is that? Because it can do a billion times a billion computations, thoughts, in a second. The Frontier is the first exascale supercomputer. This means it is capable of more than a billion times a billion operations a second. And that's known as an exaflop, as we already all know that. But It is fast. It wasn't very long ago that the fastest computer in the world could do a billion operations in a second. A billion computations on any subject in a second. It's mind-blowing. Now, this computer can do a billion times a billion. You know what a billion times a billion is? Put it up there, Tim. It's a quintillion. Take that home to your kids in school. Tell them you know what a quintillion is. A billion times a billion. A billion is a one with nine zeros behind it. A quintillion is a one with 18 zeros behind it. The fastest computer that man has been able to produce thought processing wise can do a billion times a billion computations in a second. When you take that and put it to God, laughable how little it is. The God who not only thought through every situation, all his ways are 12 billion light years better than ours. His computations, a quintillion, laughable. Laughable. And he thought everything out. Before anything was made, he already had it all the way figured out. Not only in the beginning and then haphazardly, oh God, fixed it like we do. Well, you know, we start something and then try to figure out what to do with it. God had it all figured out all the way to the end. And it's going to work out exactly like he said it would. That's incredible. But you know what's even more incredible? What he thinks about you. You know, you were placed on the timeline. Because the Bible's big on telling us at the right time, this thing happened. At this time, this thing happened. You were placed on the timeline of all God's work, all his thinking, all his plans, all his ways in this generation. You could have been in any generation. He chose you for this one. Everything about you has already been planned out about God. Listen to what Scripture says. All right, we're jumping ahead, Tim. Listen about what Scripture says about you. Psalm 139:13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. So the same God whose ways are 12.3 billion light years, different than ours, higher than ours, is the same God that took all his processing, which is well over quintillion a second, and he put you together. That just shows you how messed up we are, because a lot of us hate our bodies. A lot of us hate things about us. A lot of us, you know, we struggle. And why was I this way? And why did you allow that to happen, God? And why did this take place? And all the things we say about God, bringing him down to our level like he's made some massive mistakes here. God knew we were going to be flawed. He knew the family he put you in. And if he would have put you in a different family, because how many of us have said, I wish I was in a different family. My grandson told me that the other day. I wish I was in a different family. I said, don't we all? I didn't say it out loud, but I shouldn't tell on myself like that. But how many of us have done that? This isn't my family. Why, God, did you allow this to happen to me? What were you thinking? We bring God down as if he, without really, you know, thinking it through, saying, we disagree with you, God. This thing that you allowed, there's nothing that can ever come good out of it. The damage that has been done, the shame I have carried, the things I have done. How can you fix this? This newest issue I'm facing. What's going to happen here? As if God is brought down to our level and he's trying to figure out what to do next with you. Is he going, Joe, I don't know, Joe, what do you think? Oh, for the love of God, I'm afraid here. I might fail. He is way different than us. I want you to be impressed today, but not just impressed here. I want it to be pressed into you because this information keeps us balanced. When I realize that my God, well over a quintillion thoughts a second, can figure out it, and he's already figured it all out, that moves my balance up here when something comes and I go, I don't know about this. Now, okay, well, he does it. Oh, the same God whose ways, methodologies, things he's working are 12.3 billion light years. So this is why I want you guys to remember when you leave here. Anytime your head tells you something, just go, ah, God's got 12.3 billion ways to do this that I don't know nothing about. I can't even figure out what we're doing this afternoon. So I'm not sure about all the other stuff. Right? He says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. The God who knows everything knit you together. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's complex to us. It's super complex to us, not to him. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Really? How many of us say that about ourselves? Thank you, God. Your workmanship is wonderfully complex. It's wonderfully done. Man, we don't think about ourselves much like that at all, but that's the way God thinks about it. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You were there with me. You watched it take place. You orchestrated it. You saw me before I was ever born, before I was ever entered into the timeline. And in fact, Ephesians tells us before the timeline even started in this natural domain, God had already figured it all out and knew when you would be placed at just the right time. You mean with all my mistakes, God has ways around? Yeah, yeah, he does. With all my disappointment, yeah, yeah, God's got that handled. That's why some of us are here. We should be dead, really. But God, in his wisdom and in his way in our particular life, has decided that wouldn't be the best way to accomplish what he wants, and he's going to figure it out. Well, I mean, he's already figured it out. He's just going to make it happen. He says, listen, every day you saw me before I was born, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment you laid out before a single day had passed. You mean, God, that the death of our son at 29 was, you had already counted all those days? And the death of our daughter at 32, all those days were counted? All that time was counted? That was in your plan? Huh. Hmm. See, that's where I either believe he's a quintillion thoughts better than mine and 12.3 billion light years in his ways better than mine, or I don't. I either believe he will work it all for good, like he says, and that he won't fail in that, that he will not fail, or I don't. And you need to believe that too, or you don't. Can God work out the impossible? Nothing's impossible to God. It's only impossible to me. So that means my impossible is his possible. Can you work? Yeah, I guess he can. I get to choose whether or not I trust that. Because he said all the days. All the days. The sad days, the good days, the great days, the up days, the down days. The days of purpose, the days of throwaway. All of them. or else he's a liar and not to be believed in anything. He says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. Then he changed. How precious? How precious is the God who can think quicker in a second than a billion times a billion? His thoughts are precious towards us. He loves you. And he says this, I can't even count them. All the numbers I've given you, he says, God's thoughts toward me are so vast, they're uncountable. He says, they outnumber, and he gives us another example that we can grasp. He says, they outnumber the grains of sand. Oh, I know the grains of sand. I can go down the beach and see a massive amount of grains of sand. And your thoughts toward me are more than those? Yeah. You are worth it to God. See, the baby in the manger is the baby that will go to the cross because you're worth dying for in God's eyes. You're worth it. He loves you in that capacity. So how dare you? How dare you beat yourself down? How dare you think God loves others more than you? How dare you think God loves you when you're doing well, but he's down on you when you're in the dumps, when you make huge mistakes? That's just bringing God down to our thinking. That brings him down to being a human being who is happy when things are well and sad when things aren't. God thinks of you more than the thoughts, than the sand at the beach, sand in the world. They haven't even been able to number the sand in the world. Have you ever tried counting sand just for fun? I've taken, you know, our kids, we've taken them to the beach a bazillion times over the years. And you know what? I don't count the sand on them, but it sure gets in the car. And when I'm vacuuming, it's like, that's a lot of sand. And that's like nothing. That's nothing. So the God who has all the universes planned out, everything planned out, he's got your stuff too. He's got my stuff too. And you won't be able to figure it out. So that's where we either trust him or we don't. And this is the crazy part about God. Even when we don't, that affects nothing in his plan. He doesn't go, huh, I didn't have a contingency for Joe doubting that. Huh, I got to go work on that. Holy Spirit, Father, team meeting. We didn't figure that one out. See, you may be shocked by some of the things you do. And I'm certainly people around you may be shocked. But God is never sideswiped with it. And he never shames us. He always calls us his children. Oh, he'll discipline. But that's because you are a child of his. Oh, he can get around your resistance. It may take a while. Some of us even have the audacity to think, I've been fighting God a long time. Oh, really? Oh, you're tough. You've been fighting God, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, though, you need to be tough to be a Christian. You know, it's like anybody can be a Christian until you got to do Christian stuff. Man, it changes the whole game, right? Yeah. Like that saying, hey, oh, gangster, everybody's a gangster until you got to do gangster stuff. It's the same thing in Christianity. Anybody can claim Christianity until you got to do Christian stuff. And what's Christian stuff? Love God. Trust God. Obey God. And this is the beauty of all God does. All he's got planned, he breaks it down super simple. And all he says, listen, you trust me with all that. All you got to do is obey me today. And I'll give you the strength to obey today. That's all you got to do. You trust me with everything else. You just walk with me today. And then we'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own. Yesterday's done. You can learn from it. You might need to, you know, be healed from some of that stuff. But this is the thing. The past I want to use to heal you so you can be helpful to the world that doesn't know who God is and lives by all the circumstances, up and down and all around. We're going to go through all the things everybody else does, not necessarily all of, you know, not one person, but we're going to go through our stuff. And what is attractive is when people out there see that you go through things, but you react differently. You handle it differently. You know, regarding my kids, I know I'm going to see them again. That's just the way it is. And God's going to work it all out for, you know, in my world, just like he's going to work it out in yours. I talked to two people this week and they made me feel better after hearing their stuff. It's like, wow, I was counseling them, but they counseled me. I feel uplifted. Thank you for sharing your gnarly life. I don't want your stuff. I got my own. Thanked him for? It's like now you've given me courage to handle mine. Because if you can handle that, I can handle mine for a day. I can handle this. Teresa and I have often said, yeah, we don't like some of the stuff in our life, but I wouldn't trade it with any of you guys. I wouldn't trade my world with your world. Not because it's better or worse. It's just like, you know, your stuff carrying is hard enough. My stuff carrying is hard enough. And I don't know what it would be like to be you. And that's the beautiful part about it. I don't have to be. You don't have to be someone else either. And that's what God also does with us, is he starts to break down that stuff as we walk with him until we begin to like ourselves. I'm not trying to escape Joe anymore. I don't need something to make me be different so I can feel okay. God, I'm so glad that's done with. And I grieve for those that still choose that. It's an amazing and wonderful thing to realize that God devised his plan and is perfectly executing the plan. He's perfectly executing it. He's perfectly executing the plan. He is not haphazardly executing it. He's not wishing he could execute it better. He's not wishing that you would quit messing up the plan. He's executing it perfectly. So that we could be with him forever. The God who came to be with us is executing the plan that we can be with him. And he's doing it perfectly with absolutely imperfect human beings. We can't make the plan better. We can just get in line with the plan. How do we get in line? Handle it, what you got in your hand to handle. Handle it. And know this, you ain't going to handle it well. But rest in this, he's got 12.3 billion options on that one. He's got every contingency planned how you're going to handle it. He's thought through everything 1 quintillion times. It's a done deal. So when we celebrate Christmas, whether we're up and down, whether there's loss and grief, whether there's joy and harmony and unity in the families, or whether there's not, know this. The God in the manger is executing the plan perfectly. And I can trust him with that. So then I just ask him for the strength to walk out today well. Can we do that? All right, why don't we stand up? That was like a question. Let me just try this again. Can we do that? Do we want to do that? Raise your hand if you don't so we can all look at you and judge you slightly. All right, let me lead you in a prayer. Lord Jesus, I confess, I do bring you down to human level. And I repent of that. And I acknowledge today that you, your ways are 12.3 billion light years better than mine. And I acknowledge your thought processes about any situation in my life are one quintillion, well, probably more than that, better than mine. So I choose this afternoon to trust you. And therefore, I can have some joy knowing that my God is on the job. He will work everything out for good. For I am his child, whom he loves and thinks about more than the sand at the beach. Huntington Beach, not Seal Beach. God help these people. They make me think weird thoughts. Anyhow, Lord, I thank you. Bless us this day. And then use us to be a blessing. And all those who agree, say amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.